Before I get started with the video, there are two announcements I wanted to make. Number one, there's going to be a Sunday stream. It starts at 11 p.m. Eastern tonight, so I hope you'll join me. And the second announcement is that 2 weeks from today, on Sunday, January 13th, I will most definitely be in Manhattan, Midtown Manhattan, in New York City. Around 4 p.m., I'm going to be doing a meet and greet. Of course, this is free, okay? So it's going to be at some bar, just meet up. I hope everybody or anybody who's in the area will go there. I'm really looking forward to it. The plane tickets have been purchased. The hotels have been booked. I will definitely be there. So I'm so looking forward to it. And yeah, those are the two announcements. So let's get with the video. Problem is that, see, the involuntary celibates either living with a single mother who is telling them all kinds of bullshit, or living with a father who has rescinded his responsibility to educate his son and is instead this fucking little feminist faggot, right? Either case, either situation, the result is the same. It's a young man who is an incelibate, you know, an involuntary celibate. The guy either had no father or he had a weakling father. And notice something interesting here. I did a video called Don't Fuck Crazy, and a famous one called, you know, women are the avoid women who are damaged goods, right? Now, see, but the Don't Fuck Crazy video especially, I talk about girls with daddy issues. You see where I'm going already, I bet. Now, involuntary celibates and slutty girls with daddy issues are basically the two sides of the same coin. Now, it's all good and fine to talk about involuntary celibates, right? But it's always important to figure out where something arose from. What's the cause, the root cause of some particular phenomena? The why question can often as not help you figure out the solution to the problem, okay? So ask why. Why are there incels? What's the origin, the cause of involuntary celibates? I can sort of like see incels and I understand what problems they are facing, because some of their problems, a lot of their problems, are problems that I faced myself when I was younger. And the origin of involuntary celibacy, I can see that pretty clearly. I think it's an issue of failed fathers. Fathers have failed to educate their sons. See, there are a lot of ways to fail at being a father. The most obvious is that the man of the house, the father of the children, he leaves. He abandons the family. He leaves the woman with the children, and the woman has to fend for herself. She winds up being dependent on perhaps government assistance and some kind of crappy job, maybe moving in back with her own parents, you know, and sort of just like making do as best she can. That's the more extreme kind of failure as a father. And it's quite obvious, right? He split. He abandoned his family. He's a failed father. He's an awful human being. Yeah, that's the more obvious kind of failed father. But there's also the kind of father who's there. And worse, there's the kind of father who is a loving caretaker to his family. Yeah, he sticks around. He sticks around and he goes to work every day and he brings home the money. And he also fails his children, his sons, his family. And how is it that he fails his family, you might ask? Well, quite simply, he doesn't act as the father, as the leader of his family. Instead, he sort of like acts in a passive way and just allows the woman, the mother, his wife, to dictate everything that happens in the household. And insofar as the education, he puts no boundaries or limits on the children. He certainly doesn't enforce any kind of boundaries or limits. In a misguided effort to be, you know, a good dad, he lets the kids run around and do whatever the fuck they want, willy-nilly. He is passive insofar as educating his children. He doesn't actively educate them. Now, why is this happening? Well, very simple. It's happening for two reasons. See, on the one hand, we are living at a time in history, unique in history, where people do not really need the family unit in order to survive. This is unique, okay? See, in the past, I'm talking, you know, the last 1,000 years and the thousands of years beforehand. See, a person, a family, they needed each other to survive, see? The father would go out and hunt the woolly mammoth. And the mother, she would stay home and take care of hearth and home, and she would also go out and gather food, gather berries and what have you, with the other women of the tribe or whatever, right? And the women of the tribe would all take care together communally of the small children, and the men would all hunt communally in a society and try to bring down the woolly mammoth, kill the fucker, and bring him to the tribe so that everybody could eat, you know, protein and you know, develop, right? That's how it was for thousands of years. But in the last couple of 100 years, specifically the last 50 years, you don't need that. You just go down to the supermarket and get all the food you want, right? You don't need other people. Yes, in an abstract sense, you need a society. You need other people. You need the supermarket chain to exist to get you the food. You need the truck drivers to bring you the food from wherever to the supermarket. Sure, you need other people, but the thing is, you do not need people on a personal basis. You don't have to interact with them. You can get away with just having a credit card and just going to the store and getting whatever you need and going home and never interacting with anybody. Okay? And so what happens is that, see, young men growing up, they don't actually need their father to teach them anything. The father doesn't need to teach the kid how to go out and hunt the woolly mammoth because nobody's hunting woolly mammoths, right? You're just going down to the supermarket. And it's pretty easy to figure out how to shop for food at the local Kroger's or whatever, right? To learn how to hunt the woolly mammoth requires that the father teach the son a lot of very specialized skills. And the son has to listen to the father, has to listen to the older man of the tribe, has to listen to all the lessons, both large and small, that they are there to teach him. Because if he doesn't learn those lessons, he's not going to be able to hunt the woolly mammoth. He won't survive. He needs these lessons large and small. But in the society we're living in today, young people don't need that. So they don't go looking for them because they're not necessary. You don't need to know how to hunt to eat hamburger every day of the week. You just have to go to the McDonald's and zip your credit card, right? You need to figure out how to get money into the credit card. Yeah, that's something you actually need to know in nowadays. But that doesn't necessarily require a father. He's not teaching you a specialized skill. It's something that you can pick up. And so in terms of survival, you don't really need a father that much anymore in terms of actual survival. In terms of actually teaching you a skill that will help you to survive. You don't. So there's that problem, number one, which is a product of the technological development that we have achieved as a society. Number one. But the other problem, see, and something that has been going on the last 30-odd years, I would venture to guess, is that men have been socialized into not being forthright and aggressive insofar as their point of view. In point of fact, men have been taught over the last 30 years to be extremely hands-off insofar as children, insofar as the social situation. Men are taught to be passive. Men are taught not to interfere. And the education of children has been ceded completely to the mother and to the mother's wishes and the mother's will. Judges routinely assign the children to the mother in divorce cases, irrespective of the well-being of the child. They just automatically assume that, yeah, the mother knows what she's doing and the father is useless. Our culture has sort of like fomented this idea that men are useless and know nothing that they can teach their children. Whenever a man tries to teach something to his children, often as not, he's smacked down. He's told, no, don't interfere with that. You don't know what you're doing. It's mom. The mom knows. The dad doesn't know shit. The dad is a sperm donor, right? So what happens? Men decide, you know, fuck it. I'm not gonna get involved. I'm not gonna, you know, get into this hassle. Fine. The woman wants to take care of the kids and it's her thing. Fine. He resigns himself. He doesn't proactively participate in the raising of the children, right? And you've seen that. I've seen it. We've all seen it. Father, just like, you know, it's not that he reneges on his responsibilities. Like I said before, there are fathers who go out there and they make the money and they bring the money, but they don't interact with the kid and they don't try to teach him any lesson. Now see, in the past, when the father was teaching the kid how to go and hunt the mastodon, and since hunting the mastodon was a group effort because one man could not bring down the woolly mammoth, you needed a whole tribe of men to go out there and kill the fucker and butcher him and bring the meat home, right? Well, see, what would happen is that the man would go with his sons when his son was, you know, 8 years old, 10 years old, and they'd go off there. And the kid would learn little by little, you know, the little tricks of the trade insofar as hunting the woolly mammoth. He'd also learn that a man has to interact with other men, and he would learn the lessons of those interactions and what's appropriate behavior and what's inappropriate behavior. And little by little, as the boy grew from an 8-year-old boy into a 13-year-old boy and then a 16-year-old young man, all through that development of every week going out to hunt the woolly mammoth or whatever the fuck, the young boy who became the young man would internalize these lessons and would learn how to act like a man. It's not that he had like male spaces, you know, and that females, girls not allowed. No, no, no girl was allowed because a girl would not be able to do what the men did because it requires physical strength to do it. And on top of that, the women, you know, some girl who's like 14, 15 years old, she's probably already got a kid. Yeah, because, I mean, keep in mind, this whole issue of like 18-year-olds is the age of consent and most people have children after the age of 18 or 21 or whatever. 1,000 years ago, that wasn't the case. 1,000 years ago and earlier, throughout human development, a girl got her period and within 6 months, you know, she was getting married. Look at gypsies today. They do that, okay? Gypsies today are very common that the girl gets her period and automatically she gets married off and she becomes part of the matriarchal structure of her society, of her tribe. Whereas a young man, same thing, he would be going off there with the other men and learning how to be a man from the other men. And the other men would teach him. They would teach him not, they would sit him down and say, son, let me tell you how it is. No, come on. Okay, this isn't like some fucking after school special, okay? They would teach him by way of joking and laughing about shit and talking about stuff. And gossiping, because guys gossip just like women do, right? And talking about shit going on in the tribe and how this woman, that situation, and little by little, by a process of osmosis, young men would figure out how to be a guy, how to be a man, how to be attractive to a woman, how to get the woman that he wants or the girl in the tribe or whatever the fuck, right? Because he'd be spending time with other guys. See? But we don't have that nowadays. We do not have that at all. And it is actively discouraged, as a matter of fact. A club that's just for men? Shit, man. They bring in the lawyers and try to break it up. It's as if, you know, it was like a... They are more virulent in terms of breaking up men's clubs than if they were breaking up terrorist cells, for crying out loud. And that's what's gone on in the last 30-odd, 40 years. Men can no longer be men. It's still no longer socially approved. Okay? That's what's been going on. Because of technology and because of the passivity of men. Because, see, men in certain aspects are extremely passive. And let me give you a specific example. See, like, I've told this example before. A few weeks ago, I was at this play center with my kid. My wife and I and both kids were there, right? And there are a lot of these covered play centers, you know, indoor play centers at shopping malls and what have you because of the winter. Because, you know, it starts snowing and the kids can't play. And so there are these play centers, right? And they got like all kinds of toys and crap, right? And see, my kid, who's at the time was 2.5, you know, he would hop on this little plastic motorcycle, right? But he wanted to get on it, but he, you know, he couldn't quite do it. So he'd like cry for his mother, to pick him up. And his mother would, you know, periodically pick him up and put him on top of the motorcycle. And he'd go around this little, you know, play area within the plastic motorcycle. And then he'd get off and do other things. And then he wanted to get back on the motorcycle, of course. So he'd whine a little bit again. And his mother would come and pick him up and put him on, right? Then his mother had to go and do some stuff, some shopping, whatever the fuck, right? And so I'm there taking care of the kid. All right, and what am I doing? I'm looking at my fucking cell phone. Of course, that's what the fuck I'm doing, right? And so the kid comes around, and he wants me to put him on the motorcycle. And I look at it, and I look at my phone. I'm like, okay, fucking kid. And so rather than me pick him up and put him on the motorcycle, what did I do? I did the thing that, you know, lazy fathers do. I told him and showed him how he could get on it himself. I told him to grab the handlebars of the plastic motorcycle and swing his right leg up, okay? It took like 2-3 tries for him to figure it out properly, you know? And after that, you know, a couple of times he had to do it and he couldn't quite do it and, you know, and I had to sort of like encourage him. But after that, he was on his own. And the rest of the afternoon, I was locked in my cell phone. The kid didn't bother me not once because he'd figured it out. Right? Because rather than me doing it for him as his mother would, I taught him how to do it for himself so that he wouldn't annoy me, because that's how guys think. Yeah? We teach the kid to do shit so he won't annoy us anymore. And of course, we love the little shit, okay? I mean, I adore my son. He's the light of my life. But he's an annoying little shit. Of course he is. So I want that annoyance factor to be as minimized as possible. And so that's why I teach him shit. I don't indulge him. The other day, you know, well, the other day was about a year ago, actually. But the other day, about a year ago, he was trying to open the goddamn refrigerator. And he couldn't. And he couldn't figure out how to do it because the magnets on the refrigerator were a little bit stronger than his little arms were. He was about 2 at that point, right? And so, again, I had to teach him how to do it, how to leverage his body and pull himself back so that he could pop the refrigerator open, okay, and get the fucking yogurt that he wants to eat, right? Yeah, you know, you teach him the little tricks because you want him to be independent and autonomous. But see, the faction today is rather than teach the kid to be autonomous, a lot of fathers think that they have to do the thing for the kid. Instead of teaching him how to get on the plastic motorcycle, they figure that they have to lift him up, pick him up, and put him on the motorcycle 20 times in an afternoon. They figure that rather than teach him how to pull himself back, lean back, lift up his foot, and push against the wall so he can open the refrigerator, they have to open the refrigerator for the kid. They don't teach the kid independence. On the contrary, they teach the kid how to be dependent on the adult, on the father, or most especially on the mother. And this is a pernicious problem too. Because a lot of women constantly tell their children, "Don't worry, honey, I'll do it for you." Now, this is a disaster for children. It's a catastrophe, especially for young men, because a woman is always doing shit for you. Okay? And so you start to rely on the mother, as opposed to gaining any kind of independence. And of course, the mother, you know, what happens if she's a single mother? What happens if the father left or the marriage disintegrated for whatever reason? Maybe it was the woman's fault. Who knows why? It doesn't matter. The point is, see, a young man is living with his single mother. And what does a single mother do? She complains about men. She complains about the ex-husband and says that he's this, that, the other. He's an awful human being, blah, 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 blah. And so he gets this negative example of what a man is, and he doesn't know what the positive example is. You see the problem? And it's a disaster for young men. These young men, right, they are at home with a single mother, and the single mother is constantly shitting on the only male figure that the young man has ever known, at least known intimately. So he doesn't know how to behave as a man. Right? And insofar as getting woman, getting laid, well, the mother, of course, is going to teach him the exact wrong things, because never forget, what a woman says she wants and what she actually wants are two radically distinct things. Okay, I've said this before in a video. See, a woman will claim that she wants a nice, dependable guy who will do this, that, and the other, right? She will claim that. But, you know, Some sweet-talking guy who's totally the opposite of what she claims she wants rolls up to her and starts saying sweet nothings in her ear, and all of a sudden she's going to go to bed with the guy. Yeah. And the dependable schmuck that she claims that she wants, she'll blow him off. Yeah. Okay? But what happens to young men who are living with a single mother is that, yeah, they listen to the single mother and they're like, okay, yeah, I'll take her word for it. Okay? Because, of course, they're not around to see the mother who throws what she says out the window and starts banging the hot guy. Of course not, right? So the young man internalizes the wrong lessons of how to get a woman. That's a fact. The worst, of course, are those fathers. You know, they're at home, they're like good providers and all the rest of it, and they believe the nonsense, the feminist bullshit, and they teach it to their son. Oh man, that guy is going to be a fucking involuntary celibate for the rest of his fucking life, right? Because he's going to grow up to be afraid of women, okay? Because a lot of these men, these fathers, who are quote-unquote feminists, it's that they're fucking terrified of women. And they teach that fear to their kid. And that's what's going on. Yeah. A guy who's sexually successful, okay, what does he teach his kid? He teaches, oh man, chicks are easy. Don't worry about it, you know? And when the boy, you know, he's 12, 13, he starts going to his first parties, what's that guy going to tell him? I'll tell you what I'm going to tell my kid. I'm going to tell him to tell me everything he did at that party. And then I'm going to start telling him what he did wrong and what he did right and how to get the girl that he likes. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah. What is one of these feminist fathers going to do? Okay. Or one of these weak fathers, one of these uxorious fathers who thinks that their wife is all that and more. He's going to say, oh, you have to respect women. You have to respect women and treat them nicely and be a good man. What is a son of a bitch asshole like me going to teach his kid? I'm going to teach a man, oh, this is what you do, guy. You got to grab her by the hand, pull her away from her group, right? And just say that she's so hot and try to feel her up. That's what you got to do. Yeah, that's what I'm going to tell the kid. And because of this, he's going to start to, you know, catch on that women aren't these like delicate little fucking flowers. Okay? He's going to catch on that women like to fool around as much as guys do. Yeah. See? But the problem is that, see, the involuntary celibates either living with a single mother who is telling them all kinds of bullshit, or living with a father who has rescinded his responsibility to educate his son and is instead this fucking little feminist faggot, right? Either case, either situation, the result is the same. It's a young man who is an incelibate, you know, an involuntary celibate. The guy either had no father or he had a weakling father. And notice something interesting here. I did a video called Don't Fuck Crazy. And a famous one called, you know, women are the avoid women who are damaged goods, right? Now, see, but the Don't Fuck Crazy video especially, I talk about girls with daddy issues. You see where I'm going already, I bet. Yeah. Involuntary celibates and slutty girls with daddy issues are basically the two sides of the same coin. They are the children, the very, very damaged children of, well, the current sexual marketplace that we've got. Of no-fault divorce. Of men being, you know, ejected from their family sometimes. Or sometimes just, you know, abandoning their family because it's socially, it's okay, you know. There are people who say, oh, you're a deadbeat bad, so what? But, you know, before, back 50 years ago, 100 years ago, a guy who abandoned his family was socially ostracized everywhere. His life was destroyed, okay? But today, you can abandon your family and you're like, fuck it, you know, the state will take care of it with EBT cards or whatever the fuck. I mean, look what's happened to the black family, okay? Everything that Daniel Patrick Moynihan said was going to happen, it happened now, didn't it? Yeah. So the point, though, is that, see, damaged girls who wind up being these sluts who fuck everything that moves, girls with quote-unquote daddy issues, right? And involuntary celibates who cannot talk to a girl to save their lives, they are siblings. They are the exact same coin, just the opposite sides of the coin. One's a girl, one's a guy. But they are the exact same thing. And so far as girls are concerned, either the father abandoned the family or was ejected from the family, or the father was a weakling who said yes, dear, to everything that his wife demanded, and ceded the primacy of the household to his wife. That's what happens with these crazy-ass girls that have daddy issues. And it's the same thing that happens with involuntary celibates who do not know how to talk to girls. And it's a tragedy. And it's a product of, basically, it goes back to the sexual market deregulation that started in the 60s with the advent of the pill. There are no more rules. You know, it's a sexual free-for-all. In the sexual marketplace where there are buyers and sellers, there are no rules, no regulations, and so women go for the guys that they think are quote-unquote hot, and guys fuck whatever girl wants to fuck them, right? And there are no obligations, there are no rules. And so when a girl gets pregnant, you know, maybe the guy sticks around, maybe he doesn't, and the children thereby begotten grow up severely damaged, fucked up girls or involuntary celibate boys, right? So you see how it all goes back to the birth control pill, the advent of the birth control pill and the sexual revolution of the 60s that began because of the birth control pill, and then the 70s arrived and no-fault divorce and the fact that people could divorce one another for the flimsiest of reasons, all in the name of, you know, self-expression and finding true happiness, which is so much bullshit. Okay? You don't find true happiness, you know, hedonistically by just pursuing pleasure. You find true happiness and satisfaction in life by building something, something that has meaning to you. A family has meaning to you. But if you are not taught that, if you are not told that, then you grow up and you become, you know, a crazy girl who fucks everything that moves because she's got daddy issues, or an involuntary celibate. So next time you're at some bar, maybe you're an involuntary celibate, and you see some crazy ass girl, and she's just totally crazy and just willing to fuck everything, and you look at her careful, and I'll bet you that you're going to realize, if you talk to her, that you and her have got a lot in common. Yeah, it's the failed fathers, okay? That is why you're an involuntary celibate.